This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro in Washington, where in a few minutes, President Obama will formally announce his nominees for two key national security positions. Chuck Hagel, the former Republican senator from Nebraska, is the president's pick to succeed Leon Panetta as Secretary of Defense. Hagel can expect a contentious nomination battle. Already he's faced criticism, particularly from Republicans, that he's anti-Israel and soft on Iran. Speaking in the East Room of the White House today, the president will also nominate his top counterterrorism advisor, John Brennan, to head the CIA. Brennan would replace acting director Michael Morell. Brennan spent 25 years with the agency but withdrew his name from consideration for the same job in 2008. Both men must be confirmed by the Senate. They join Democratic Senator John Kerry, already nominated to replace Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. We'll hear from the president, from both nominees, and the current Secretary of Defense and acting CIA director in just a few minutes. First, with me here in Studio 3A, we have NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving, NPR Pentagon reporter Tom Bowman, and NPR intelligence correspondent Tom Gelton, as well as NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson joining us from the White House. Hello to all of you.
Hello.
Hello.
And Mara, let's start with you. The president seems to be picking a fight here, at least with the Hagel nomination for Secretary of Defense.
He definitely is picking a fight. He shied away from a fight when he decided not to nominate Susan Rice to replace Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. But this is a fight that, number one, the White House thinks it can win, and number two, they think it's worth fighting. In other words, it will come at a cost, but they think the cost is worth paying. He wants somebody who agrees with him on foreign policy at the Pentagon. He also wants somebody who will be, if he's confirmed, the first enlisted man, the first person who's carried a rifle in combat to be the Secretary of Defense, especially at a time when there will be a kind of downsizing of defense and defense cuts. He thinks it's good to have a former veteran in that slot and also a Republican, despite the heat that Hagel is taking from Republicans.
Yeah, there seems to be some irony in the president choosing a Republican for this job and getting a lot of criticism for it from Republicans. Explain why that is.
Well, Chuck Hagel is a special kind of Republican. He's a maverick. He endorsed President Obama. He traveled with him during the campaign in 2008 to the Middle East. He defended him against John McCain's criticism. The Republicans feel that he's a Republican in name only.
Rhino,
that
as they call it.
He's a rhino. But he is a Republican in his background. He was a senator from Nebraska, a Republican senator from Nebraska. I don't know if that's going to help him that much, but it does give him a certain status and a certain credibility in terms of the defense establishment.
So if that's the nominee for Secretary of Defense, let's talk, Tom Gelton, a bit about the other man who will be joining President Obama in the East Room in just a few minutes, John Brennan, up to head the CIA. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, Ari, there's arguably no one who is closer to President Obama in terms of national security thinking and policy than John Brennan. He has been at President Obama's right hand throughout his first term as his chief counterterrorism advisor. He has been absolutely key in crafting the administration's counterterrorism policy and its focus on drones or targeted killings. So he will, wherever he goes, and by going to the CIA, he will carry great clout because of his close personal association with President Obama. And as you said before, he is a veteran of the CIA, spent 25 years there, came from the operational side as opposed to the analytical side. He was at one time a station chief in Saudi Arabia as station chief. A station chief has the responsibility of overseeing the recruitment of foreign spies, very much a cloak and dagger type of responsibility. So he will bring that kind of personal clout to the agency. I think the bottom line here is it really raises the profile of the agency at a time when, you know, there are a lot of agencies competing for influence.
What's the significance of having somebody who is so personally close with President Obama in that particular job?
Well, in that particular job, you know, we had a reorganization of the intelligence community a few years ago and the creation of a new position called the Director of National Intelligence. Now, the CIA is theoretically below the office of the Director of National Intelligence. The current Director of the National Intelligence is a retired Air Force general by the name of General Clapper. And you can be sure that even though John Brennan is bureaucratically subordinate to General Clapper, he will have a lot more influence. And that raises questions about whether the Office of the Director of National Intelligence is really endowed with the kind of authority that the legislators who created that position meant for it to be.
And does it in some way diminish the role of the Pentagon to have somebody like Chuck Hagel, who has less of a personal relationship than Brennan, who's in line to be head of the CIA?
Well, as Mara said, Chuck Hagel has also a close relationship with Obama that's crafted sort of during the campaign mode. And by endorsing him and supporting him, that's very important. But there's no question Chuck Hagel has been on the outside for the last few years. John Brennan has been very much on the inside. And so that certainly will, you know, give him an advantage over Chuck Hagel in this kind of interagency competition.
Again, we're awaiting any moment now President Obama to speak in the East Room of the White House announcing his nominees to head the CIA and the Department of Defense. And senior Washington editor Ron Elving is also here with us in the studio. Ron, it sounds as though there is more pushback to Chuck Hagel than there is to John Brennan at this point. Is there much pushback, to if any, to Brennan, or is the focus on Hagel going to help Brennan kind of slide through the confirmation process?
I believe it will. The nomination of John Kerry to be Secretary of State does not seem to be in any kind of trouble whatsoever. There was almost a kind of understanding between the president and the Senate that if he did not push them by nominating Susan Rice for that job, they would be more than glad to take John Kerry. Now, there might have been under some other circumstances more objection to John Kerry, but that's all worked out. In this case, the way that same sort of dynamic works, the focus will probably be on Chuck Hagel. We have already battle lines drawn over his remarks about Iran, his remarks about Israel, his perceived lack of passion for pursuing a particular line of alliance with Israel and opposition to all things Iran. So those lines are right there. There is not a clear case of what we do with Mr. Brennan. We don't know exactly what the objection is. We do know what the objection is from a lot of liberals and civil libertarians who associate him with the drones program and also with enhanced techniques of interrogation, which many people call torture. So that's going to be a big issue for a number of people, but probably primarily on the Democratic side. And because the heat's going to be on Hagel, we expect Brennan to go through fairly easily.
Tom Bowman, our Pentagon correspondent, is here with us in the studio. And Tom, Ron just sort of referenced a few of the lines of attack against Chuck Hagel in line to be defense secretary. Dig into that a little more deeply for us. Ron mentioned Iran. He mentioned Israel. There's also an issue about a comment he made about a gay diplomat 14 years ago for which he apologized. Explain these objections.
That's right. You know, first of all, Hagel has never been a fan of unilateral sanctions. He's in favor of multilateral sanctions.
Against
That's
Iran.
Important to know. So it's not like he's always voted against sanctions for Iran. And he more recently said he wants to ratchet up sanctions to keep Iran, you know, kind of in the closet, so to speak. And also,
which is a nice segue to the ambassador to Luxembourg.
The ambassador to Luxembourg, I guess it was.
James Hormel.
Right. He basically said he didn't want an outwardly gay ambassador representing the United States. In Hagel's defense, this comment was made in 1998 when a lot of people's views on gay Americans, gays in the military, for example, were different than they are today. I think that's important to note. And he also apologized for that comment as well.
And the gay rights group HRC, Human Rights Campaign, accepted his apology.
Right. And I want to get back to what you were talking about earlier. Who will have more influence? Will it be John Brennan or Chuck Hagel? But you have to remember, why did he choose Chuck Hagel? For a couple of things, I think. First of all, moving out of Afghanistan. Both Hagel and President Obama agree you have to move out of Afghanistan faster. And Chuck Hagel, with his Vietnam experience, is looking at these long, prolonged wars where you don't get much out of it in the end of it. He wants to move out of Afghanistan quickly as well. And the other thing is cutting the Pentagon budget, too. He wants deeper cuts in the Pentagon. He has called the Pentagon budget bloated. So I think you're going to see some opposition from Republicans on that score as well. But you may see some Tea Party people and some liberal Democrats supporting Hagel for deeper cuts in the Pentagon.
Mara Liasson, you mentioned that President Obama decided not to pick a fight with Susan Rice over the Secretary of State position, but he is choosing to pick a fight by nominating Chuck Hagel to the Department of Defense. Why would he do that? What's his thinking here?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. First of all, I think that confirming Susan Rice would have been more difficult. Chuck Hagel has support. He has some pretty prominent opponents, but his supporters have been organizing. There's a bipartisan group of former national security officials and senators who've been circulating petitions. There are people now beginning to speak out. Susan Rice had a lot of opponents, but she didn't have an organized well of support, and she didn't have a tremendous amount of goodwill. That's one thing. The other thing is he had Kerry waiting in the wings. He had a pretty good number two, and I don't think that the White House thinks that any of the other possibilities for defense have as much stature as Chuck Hagel. And he also, you can't back down twice. He floated Susan Rice. The balloon didn't go up in the air, and he decided not to fight. Then he floated Chuck Hagel. It took on some baggage, but to turn tail twice, I think, would have been bad. I'm not saying he's backed himself into a corner, and that's why he's doing it. But he decided, you know, this is a president who's been reelected. He has big plans. There are big foreign policy issues on the table. He wants his own guy at defense, and he's willing to make this fight. And the White House has calculated that this is a fight they can win. Democratic opposition is going to be tough. Democrats usually support their president, you know, as Republicans do. You see the gay rights groups are now saying they accept the apology he's made. Some of them, log cabin Republicans, interestingly enough, haven't accepted his apology yet. Some Jewish groups are coming out and saying that they think that he's sufficiently strong on Israel. I think what it's going to boil down to is Republican opposition, conservative Republican opposition, which is loud right now. We just don't know how broad-based it's going to be or if they will try to filibuster him.
Tom Jelton?
You know, Ari, I think an important point here is that positions taken by people before they go into an administration tend to get forgotten later on. If you, just speaking about sanctions, for example, you know, someone who was opposed to unilateral sanctions on Iran was Dick Cheney. After he became vice president, no one ever raised that issue again because people in positions of policy authority and responsibility basically back the positions of the president. And with respect to Iran right now, the dichotomy, the choice is basically toughen sanctions or take military action. And I don't think, as Tom Bowman said, I don't think there's any question that Chuck Hagel, given the choice of military action against Iran, would firmly support strong sanctions. So some of these issues, and I think Iran is probably a better example than Israel, some of these issues I would predict would go away pretty quickly.
Once again, we're awaiting the president in the East Room of the White House where the podium is set up, the audience is assembled, all we need is the commander-in-chief. And in the meantime, we've unpacked a few of the lines of opposition against Chuck Hagel, but Ron Elving, one that we haven't talked about in great detail is the issue of Israel. Over the weekend on CNN on Sunday, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Republican, said this is an in-your-face nomination by the president to all of us who are supportive of Israel. What does he mean by that?
What he means is that we have had Chuck Hagel identified by some commentators as being a person of insufficient loyalty to the idea that our relationship with Israel is in a special category and should never be critiqued and should never really be suggested for any kind of changes, and that it's almost unique in all of our relationships in the world. That is a popular view among many American politicians and many Americans. It is not necessarily a universal view, and Chuck Hagel got into some trouble some time ago when he was a senator by calling that particular orthodoxy into question. And, of course, as Chuck Hagel has a tendency to do, he sometimes used some unfortunate constructions of language.
Are you saying he's a frank speaker?
Well, and maybe he meant to say this and maybe he didn't, but in reference to people who were lobbying on behalf of Israel, he referred to it as the Jewish lobby. And the difference between saying Jewish and saying Israel is an enormous language, linguistic difference. It calls forth completely different associations, and it suggests what might be a whiff of anti-Semitism by putting it in those terms. That may not have been at all what he meant to say or imply, but because of the linguistic associations of certain usages of adjectives, it created that impression, and that's what Lindsey Graham was referring to when he said it was in your face.
Are we talking about a pattern of statements and votes over the years by Chuck Hagel, or are we talking about one quote on one occasion?
I think it's a little more than one quote on one occasion, but I don't think that you can make the case that he was anti-Israel.
All right, President Obama is coming out. Here we go.
Mr. Mike Morrell and Mr. John Brennan.
Good afternoon, everybody. Please have a seat. As president and commander-in-chief, my most solemn obligation is the security of the American people. Over the past 4 years, we've met that responsibility by ending the war in Iraq and beginning a transition in Afghanistan, by decimating the Al-Qaeda core and taking out Osama bin Laden,
by disrupting terrorist plots and saving countless American lives. Among an outstanding national security team, I am especially grateful to Leon Panetta, who has led the CIA and our military with incredible skill. Leon, after nearly five decades of service, you have more than earned the right to return to civilian life. I'll have much more to say about Leon's distinguished service in the days ahead. Today, I simply want to convey both to you and to Sylvia the eternal gratitude of the entire nation. Thank you so much, Leon. I also want to thank Michael Morrell, who's earned the admiration of all of us who've worked with him across government and here in the White House. In moments of transition, he's guided the CIA with a steady hand as acting director, not once, but twice. And he is a consummate professional. As I said, everybody in the White House who works with him, everybody across agencies who works with him, considers him truly to be one of our most outstanding national security team members. And so, Michael, on behalf of all of us, thank you and Mary Beth for your continued service. As these leaders know, the work of protecting our nation is never done, and we've still got much to do. Ending the war in Afghanistan and caring for those who have borne the battle. Preparing for the full range of threats, from the unconventional to the conventional, including things like cybersecurity. And within our military, continuing to ensure that our men and women in uniform can serve the country they love, no matter who they love. To help meet the challenges of our time, I'm proud to announce my choice for two key members of my national security team, Chuck Hagel, for Secretary of Defense, and John Brennan, for Director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, Chuck Hagel is the leader that our troops deserve. He is an American patriot. He enlisted in the Army and volunteered for Vietnam. As a young private and then a sergeant, he served with honor alongside his own brother. When Chuck was hit by shrapnel, his brother saved him. When his brother was injured by a mine, Chuck risked his life to pull him to safety. To this day, Chuck bears the scars and the shrapnel from the battles he fought in our name. Chuck Hagel's leadership of our military would be historic. He'd be the first person of enlisted rank to serve as Secretary of Defense, one of the few secretaries who've been wounded in war, and the first Vietnam veteran to lead the department. As I saw during our visits together to Afghanistan and Iraq, in Chuck Hagel, our troops see a decorated combat veteran of character and strength. They see one of their own. Chuck's a champion of our troops and our veterans and our military families. As a leader at the VA, he fought to give our veterans the benefits they deserved. As head of the USO, he devoted himself to caring for our troops. Having studied under the GI Bill himself, he helped lead the fight for the post-9/11 GI Bill, so today's returning heroes can get their education too. Having co-chaired my Intelligence Advisory Board, he knows that our armed forces collect, analyze, and depend on good intelligence. And Chuck recognizes that American leadership is indispensable in a dangerous world. I saw this in our travels together across the Middle East. He understands that America stands strongest when we stand with allies and with friends. As a successful businessman, he also knows that even as we make tough fiscal choices, we have to do so wisely, guided by our strategy, and keep our military the strongest fighting force the world has ever known. Maybe most importantly, Chuck knows that war is not an abstraction. He understands that sending young Americans to fight and bleed in the dirt and mud, that's something we only do when it's absolutely necessary. My frame of reference, he has said, is geared towards the guy at the bottom who's doing the fighting and the dying. With Chuck, our troops will always know, just like Sergeant Hagel was there for his own brother, Secretary Hagel will be there for you.
And finally, Chuck represents the bipartisan tradition that we need more of in Washington. For his independence and commitment to consensus, he's earned the respect of national security and military leaders, Republicans and Democrats, including me. In the Senate, I came to admire his courage and his judgment, his willingness to speak his mind, even if it wasn't popular, even if it defied the conventional wisdom. And that's exactly the spirit I want on my national security team. A recognition that when it comes to the defense of our country, we are not Democrats or Republicans, we are Americans. Each of us has a responsibility, Chuck has said, to be guided not by the interests of our party or our president even, but by the interests of our country. So, Chuck, I thank you and Lilibet for agreeing to serve once more in the interests of our country. Now, when I'm on the subject of patriots, let me say a few words about John Brennan. In John Brennan, the men and women of the CIA will have the leadership of one of our nation's most skilled and respected intelligence professionals, not to mention that unique combination of smarts and strength that he claims comes from growing up in New Jersey. A 25-year veteran of the CIA, John knows what our national security demands: intelligence that provides policymakers with the facts, strong analytic insights, and a keen understanding of a dynamic world. Given his extensive experience and travels, which include, by the way, traveling through the Arabian Peninsula where he camped with tribesmen in the desert, John has an invaluable perspective on the forces, the history, the culture, the politics, economics, the desire for human dignity, driving so much of the changes in today's world. Having held senior management, analytic, and operational positions at the agency, John's committed to investing in the range of intelligence capabilities we need, technical and human. He literally built and then led the National Counterterrorism Center. And he knows the risks that our intelligence professionals face every day. John has lost colleagues and friends, heroes whose stars now grace that memorial wall at Langley. For the last 4 years, as my advisor for counterterrorism and homeland security, John developed and has overseen our comprehensive counterterrorism strategy, a collaborative effort across the government, including intelligence and defense and homeland security and law enforcement agencies. And so think about the results. More al-Qaeda leaders and commanders have been removed from the battlefield than at any time since 9/11. Their communications, recruiting, training, finances are all under enormous strain, all of which makes it harder to plan and carry out large-scale attacks against our homeland. And our entire team, including our exceptional Director of National Intelligence, Jim Clapper, will remain relentless against al-Qaeda and its affiliates. In all this work, John has been tireless. People here in the White House work hard, but John is legendary even in the White House for working hard. He is one of the hardest-working public servants I've ever seen. I'm not sure he's slept in 4 years. When I was on Martha's Vineyard, John came and did the press briefing. It was in the summer, it's August, he's in full suit and tie. And one of the reporters asked him, don't you ever get any downtime? And John said, I don't do downtime. He's not even smiling now. There's another reason I value John so much, and that is his integrity and his commitment to the values that define us as Americans. He has worked to embed our efforts in a strong legal framework. He understands we are a nation of laws. In moments of debate and decision, he asks the tough questions, and he insists on high and rigorous standards. Time and again, he's spoken to the American people about our counterterrorism policies because he recognizes we have a responsibility to be open and transparent as possible.
And so, John, you've been one of my closest advisors. You've been a great friend. I'm deeply grateful for your extraordinary service. I'm even more grateful for Kathy's willingness to put up with you. And I am grateful to both of you for your willingness to take this assignment. Today, I can say to the men and women of the CIA, in Director John Brennan, you will have one of your own, a leader who knows you, who cares for you deeply, and who will fight for you every single day. And you'll have a leader who has my complete confidence and my complete trust. Now, as I said, the work of defending our nation is never done. My number one criteria in making these decisions was simple. Who is going to do the best job in securing America? These two leaders have dedicated their lives to protecting our country. I am confident they will do an outstanding job. I urge the Senate to confirm them as soon as possible so we can keep our nation secure and the American people safe. And so, Chuck and John, congratulations. And with that, I want to invite each of these leaders on stage to say a few words, starting with Mr. Leon Panetta.
First of all, let me express my deepest gratitude to the President for giving me the honor and the privilege of serving in your administration. These last 4 years as Director of the CIA and now as Secretary of Defense, I have been extremely proud to be part of your national security team, Mr. President, and to be proud of what it has accomplished in your first term. Looking ahead to the second term, I want to commend President Obama on his decision to nominate Chuck Hagel as the next Secretary of Defense. And let me also add, as former director of the CIA, to commend the President for his choice of John Brennan. I've had the opportunity to work with John on counterterrorism issues these last 4 years. He knows the CIA. He will be a strong leader of that great intelligence agency. I've also known Chuck for a long period of time as well, and I had the opportunity to work with him closely, particularly in his capacity as chairman of the President's Intelligence Advisory Board. I greatly appreciate the work he has done to strengthen our intelligence enterprise. It has been extremely important to our ability to improve our intelligence capabilities. And as Secretary of Defense, I also benefited from his work when he served on our Defense Policy Board. Chuck Hagel is a patriot, he's a decorated combat veteran, and he is a dedicated public servant. I believe his experience, his judgment, his deep understanding of the security issues facing this country make him the right choice to be Secretary of Defense. As for me, after close to 50 years of serving the American people, began in 1964 when I served as a first lieutenant in the United States Army, and then in both the legislative and executive branch positions in Washington. The time has come for me to return to my wife, Sylvia, our three sons, their families, our six grandchildren, and my walnut farm. Dealing with a different set of nuts. I want to deeply thank my family for giving me the fullest measure of love and support during my many absences from home throughout my long career in public service. But I will leave Washington with a very deep sense of pride in what we have accomplished during these last 4 years being on the President's national security team. As both Director of the CIA and as Secretary of Defense, I have always believed that our fundamental mission is to keep America safe, to keep America secure. And because of the outstanding dedication of our intelligence and military professionals, America is safer and more secure than it was 4 years ago, and we have reached a turning point after more than a decade of war. And on that, as we've reached that turning point, we've developed a new defense strategy for the 21st century. We have, with John's leadership, decimated al-Qaeda's leadership and weakened their effort to attack this country. We have brought wars in Iraq, and we will bring the war in Afghanistan to an honorable conclusion. We've opened up opportunities for all Americans to serve in our military. And we continue to strongly support our forces, their families, and our wounded warriors. These are some of the achievements that I am proud of. Let me close by expressing my profound gratitude to the outstanding team of military and civilian staff and leaders that I've had the honor to serve with at the Department of Defense and at the White House. In particular, let me deeply thank the outstanding men and women in uniform who I've had the privilege to serve and to lead. Those who put their lives on the line every day on distant battlefields for this country. Their sacrifices teach us that freedom is not free. A strong democracy depends on a strong defense. But you can also not have a strong and stable defense without a strong and stable democracy. As we continue to confront strategic challenges and fiscal austerity, my hope for the future is that the sense of duty our service members and their families exhibit every day inspires the leaders of this nation to have the courage to do what is right, to achieve the American dream, to give our children a better life, and to build a more secure future.
Joe?
That was outgoing Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, now Chuck Hagel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm honored by your trust and your confidence in me, and not unmindful of the immense responsibilities that go with it. I want to also acknowledge my wife, Lilibet, my daughter, Alan, and our son, Ziller, who is in Chicago today, we hope, back attending his first day of classes at DePaul University. And to my friend, Leon Panetta, thank you for your extraordinary service to our country over so many years in so many capacities. You are one of the premier public servants of our time. To follow you at the Department of Defense will be a most challenging task, but I will try to live up to the standards that you, Bob Gates, and others have set for this job and this nation. Let me also express my deep appreciation and congratulations to my friend John Brennan, and to also acknowledge the President's confidence and trust in John Brennan. Thank you, John, for your service and what you will continue to do for our country. To Mike Morrell, who I have gotten to know over the years, not just serving on the Senate Intelligence Committee, but also, as the President has noted, the privilege of co-chairing the President's Intelligence Advisory Board with former Senator Dave Boren. Thank you, Mike, for your continued service. Mr. President, I'm grateful for this opportunity to serve our country again, and especially its men and women in uniform and their families. These are people who give so much to this nation every day with such dignity and selflessness. This is particularly important at a time as we complete our mission in Afghanistan and support the troops and military families who have sacrificed so much over more than a decade of war. I'm also grateful for an opportunity to help continue to strengthen our country and strengthen our country's alliances and advance global freedom, decency, and humanity as we help build a better world for all mankind. I will always do my best. I will do my best for our country, for those I represent at the Pentagon, and for all our citizens. And, Mr. President, I will always give you my honest and most informed counsel. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was Chuck Hagel, Defense Secretary nominee, and now we're
going to hear from
Mike Morrell, Acting CIA Director.
For your very kind remarks, and thank you for the trust that you placed in me when you asked me to be Acting Director twice. I have had the honor of knowing and working with John Brennan for the last 20 years. We have worked particularly closely the last 3 years. John Brennan is an intelligence professional with deep experience in our business, a public servant with extraordinary dedication, and a man of deep integrity. With Senate confirmation, I know that he will be an outstanding director of the Central Intelligence Agency. As the President noted, John started his career at CIA and spent nearly a quarter century. So this is a homecoming for John. John, on behalf of the talented and dedicated men and women of CIA, it is my deep honor to say, welcome home.
Mr. President, it is indeed a tremendous honor to be nominated to be the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. The women and men of the CIA are among the most dedicated, courageous, selfless, and hardworking individuals who have ever served this country. At great personal risk and sacrifice, they have made countless invaluable contributions to our national security and to the safety and security of all Americans. Most times, their successes will never be known outside the hallowed halls of Langley and the Oval Office. Leading the agency in which I served for 25 years would be the greatest privilege as well as the greatest responsibility of my professional life. Mr. President, I want to thank you for your confidence in me, but even more for your confidence and constant support to the CIA and to those who serve in the intelligence community. They need and deserve the support of all of their fellow Americans, especially at a time of such tremendous national security challenges. If confirmed as director, I will make it my mission to ensure that the CIA has the tools it needs to keep our nation safe and that its work always reflects the liberties, the freedoms, and the values that we hold so dear. I'm especially proud to stand here today with such patriots as Leon Panetta, Chuck Hagel, and Michael Morrell. It was a tremendous honor to serve with Leon over the past 4 years, and I very much look forward to the opportunity and privilege to serve with another of America's great patriots, Chuck Hagel. And I'm especially proud and touched to be able to stand here today with my close friend and colleague, Michael Morrell, who epitomizes what it means to be an intelligence professional. Michael's leadership at the CIA, as well as his 32-year career, has been nothing short of exemplary. Michael, I very much look forward to working with you in the weeks, months, and years ahead. And I also look forward to working with Congress, as our national security rests on the ability of the executive and legislative branches of our government to work as a team. While the intelligence profession oftentimes demands secrecy, it is critically important that there be a full and open discourse on intelligence matters with the appropriate elected representatives of the American people. Although I consider myself neither a Republican nor a Democrat, I very much look forward to working closely with those on both sides of the aisle. Finally, and most importantly, to my wife, Kathy, to my children, Kyle, Jacqueline, Kelly, to my parents in New Jersey, a shout out. Owen, who is 92, and my mom, Dorothy, who is 91, my brother, Tom, and my sister, Kathleen, and my Jersey roots. I could not be where I am today without their love, their patience, their understanding, and their support. And there's no way that I can ever repay that, except to say I think I'm going to need it for a little bit longer. So again, Mr. President, I am deeply grateful for this opportunity. It will be bittersweet to leave all of my close colleagues and friends here at the White House and at the National Security Staff, who I've come to work with and respect so deeply over the last 4 years. But if confirmed by the Senate, I would consider it to be the honor of my life to serve as the 21st Director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Thank you. Well, the
These are four outstanding individuals. We are grateful to all of them. I want, in particular, to thank Mike Morrell and Leon Panetta for their extraordinary service. I just want to repeat, I hope that the Senate will act on these confirmations promptly. When it comes to national security, we don't like to leave a lot of gaps between the time that one set of leaders transitions out and another transitions in. So we need to get moving quickly on this. Final point I'll make, one of the reasons that I am so confident that Chuck Hagel is going to be an outstanding Secretary of Defense and John Brennan is going to be an outstanling Director of the Central Intelligence Agency is they understand that we are only successful because of the folks up and down the line in these respective institutions. The folks on the ground who are oftentimes putting their lives at risk for us and are oftentimes at great remove from Washington and its politics. To have those who have been in the field, who've been in the heat of battle, who understand the consequences of decisions that we make in this town and how it has an impact and ramifications for everybody who actually has to execute our national security strategies. That's something invaluable. It'll provide me the kinds of insights that I need in making very difficult decisions, but it'll also mean that these folks are going to be looking out for the people who work for them. And that's something that I think in these leadership positions is absolutely critical. So I'm looking forward to working with these two gentlemen. They are going to be outstanding. Thank you very much, everybody.
That was President Obama in the East Room of the White House formally announcing the nominations of Chuck Hagel to be Secretary of Defense and John Brennan to be Director of the CIA. He was flanked by gold drapery with flags on either side of him, Hagel standing immediately to his right, Brennan to his left, and on either side of them, Leon Panetta and Mike Morrell, the people who currently hold those two positions. We heard the president commend Hagel's military service in Vietnam, the two Purple Hearts he earned, his work with veterans, and his time in the U.S. Senate. In John Brennan, the president said the CIA gets a leader who is one of their own and one of the most skilled and talented intelligence professionals in the country, he said. The president credited Brennan with building the National Counterterrorism Center, and he said Brennan is legendary around the White House for his relentless hard work. The president pressed the Senate to confirm both men soon, but that process will likely be contentious, particularly in the case of former Senator Chuck Hagel. Senator John Kerry also faces confirmation to become Secretary of State, but that nomination is unlikely to face much, if any, pushback. I'm Ari Shapiro, and you're listening to special coverage from NPR News. And still with us is NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Mara, one thing that struck me about the president's statement was how much he emphasized the connection of these two men, Hagel and Brennan, to the folks at the bottom of their respective totem poles at the Defense Department and the CIA. What stood out to you?
Well, that definitely stood out. He did make the point that Chuck Hagel is going to be a historic pick because he'll be the first person of enlisted rank to serve as Secretary of Defense, and he'll also be the first Vietnam veteran to lead the department. So he's the first person who actually carried a rifle in battle who'll lead the Defense Department. He said Chuck knows war is not an abstraction. He knows that sending young, what it means to send young Americans to fight and bleed in the dirt and the mud, and that's a thing we only do when it's absolutely necessary. His frame of references is geared toward the guy at the bottom who's doing the fighting and dying. And that was pretty emotional. And I do think that there is support for Chuck Hagel among the military for that reason. The drama in today's announcement was the upcoming battle over Hagel. He's opposed by Republicans who feel that he's a turncoat, by neocons and conservative foreign policy thinkers who think he's soft on Israel, soft on Iran, too reluctant to commit military force. And that's going to be the big battle ahead.
That's NPR National Political Correspondent Mara Liasson joining us from the White House. Thanks, Mara.
Thank you.
And we also want to thank NPR Intelligence Correspondent Tom Gelton, who joined us earlier. Still here in Studio 3A, we have Tom Bowman, who covers the Pentagon for NPR, and our senior Washington editor, Ron Elving. Tom, describe for us what the next defense secretary will face. What are the big issues facing the Pentagon in President Obama's second term that might be different from the first term?
Well, the two big issues are Afghanistan and the Pentagon budget, and both the President Obama and Secretary Panetta talked about winding down the war in Afghanistan. The combat mission ends at the end of 2014, and the Obama administration would like to see those troop cuts faster than some of the generals in Afghanistan. So look for an ally in Chuck Hagel on this. He, from his Vietnam experience, realizes that America can't get bogged down in these long wars. So he would like to see those troops come home faster as well. The other issue is the Pentagon budget. There have been a lot of Pentagon budget cuts, but as Hagel sees it, not enough. He calls a defense budget bloated. And again, President Obama will have an ally, as will Democrats and some Tea Party members, and someone like Chuck Hagel, who sees some fat at the Pentagon budget that can be cut still.
And Ron, talk about the political implications of this. During the presidential campaign, one contrast between the president and Mitt Romney was that Republicans wanted to grow the Pentagon budget. President Obama is promising to shrink it, and that task falls to Chuck Hagel.
It does. It does not, of course, fall to Chuck Hagel to sell that personally, entirely, to the Congress and to the country. That's still the president's primary responsibility. But Chuck Hagel is going to have to decide where the cuts will fall. Now, we already are committed. We're already committed to an enormous cutback in the percentage of resources and in the dollar resources that the Pentagon is going to have available over the next 10 years. That's already baked in. Leon Panetta had to deal with that. That's one of the reasons Leon Panetta is so glad to get back to his walnuts. But going forward, there is the prospect with the sequester, and this is all part of the fiscal cliff debate we've just been through. They pushed off the sequester. They didn't decide that last week. They only looked at some of the other issues last week. And when we come to talking about cutting spending, perhaps 10% across the board, that's what the sequester calls for, with half of that falling on the Department of Defense, that would roughly, in very rough terms, double the amount of money that had to be extracted from our defense commitments over that decade. If that should happen, and I'm not predicting it will, I don't believe it will, but if that were to happen or anything close to that, that would be entirely the responsibility of Chuck Hagel to apportion among all the different functions of the armed services, decide how many Marines we're going to be losing, how many soldiers we're going to be losing, how many ships have to come back to port. That would be Chuck Hagel's job.
Okay, we have to talk a little bit about the outgoing Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, who is such a Washington character. He's spent almost 50 years in public service. He has this face that looks like it's drawn for political cartoons, with these big bushy eyebrows and kind of doughy features. And he made a joke about going back to his walnut farm to deal with a different kind of nut. He's gone back to California almost every weekend, even as he's run the Defense Department and the CIA. Ron, tell us about this guy.
Leon Panetta first came to Washington as part of the Richard Nixon administration, believe it or not, and he was initially a Republican in his life. I actually thought he might make some reference to that in talking about being succeeded by Chuck Hagel, because while Leon Panetta, of course, has not been a Republican for quite a long time, he did begin his public life as a Republican. And then back in the Nixon era, and he resigned from the Nixon administration at a time when it was probably pretty wise to have done so. And when he entered politics as an elected official in the later 70s, he stood for office as a Democrat, became a congressman, I believe was elected in 1976 to the Congress, and served for a number of years honorably, and then, of course, was called into a number of jobs, culminating in being the director of the CIA and being the Secretary of Defense. But along the way, he was also the director of the Office of Management and Budget, which is another one of those jobs you don't want to wish on anyone.
Tom Bowman, one of the things that stood out to me in the president's introduction of John Brennan to run the CIA was he talked about embedding our counterterrorism efforts in a strong legal framework. Unpack that for us. What's he referring to?
Well, first of all, John Brennan is going to have some explaining to do, because he was supportive of the enhanced interrogation techniques during the Bush administration. That was something that, liberal Democrats in particular and others were concerned about. So watch for him to get questioned on that on Capitol Hill. But there are still questions about the legality of some of the drone missions and so forth in Yemen and Pakistan.
And these are all things that Brennan more than has his fingerprints on. He has been praised for being the architect.
Absolutely. He's a godfather of this. And I'll tell you, people I talk with in the Pentagon, they don't think there's been enough talk about the policy of drone warfare.
Well, because it's been largely secret for a
It's been largely secret. And I had one retired colonel in the Pentagon say to me, and again, these aren't lefty-type people. He said, listen, what will we say if Russia decided to do something like this in Chechnya? Or if China took out a dissident with a drone? Everyone's building these drones now, and the policy has not been formed on this issue. We haven't thought about the implications of this worldwide. This is something we've got to keep an eye on. But at this point, you know, the Obama administration has vastly increased the number of drone attacks in Pakistan and Somalia and Yemen. And this is something you're going to see debated in the coming weeks and months, and clearly at his confirmation hearing as well.
And then turning from Brennan back to Chuck Hagel in line to be the defense secretary, we've discussed ending the war in Afghanistan, which is and also the budget cuts, both of which came up in President Obama's introduction of Hagel. A few other things that the president mentioned. He talked about cybersecurity. He talked about veterans issues. He talked about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What role will these play in a future Defense Department that is led by potentially Chuck Hagel?
Well, as far as Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I don't see too much happening there. Gays can now serve openly in the military. Cybersecurity is a huge issue for the Pentagon and the National Security Establishment. The sense is that defensive measures for cybersecurity aren't what they should be. And they're also talking a lot about offensive capabilities with cybersecurity against countries, particularly Iran, in the future. So watch for that to come to the fore.
And one more thing on the list, I understand the Pentagon is reviewing the role of women in combat.
That's true. They're still barred from serving in ground combat in the infantry troops, infantry units. I don't see that changing too much. They're able to serve closer to the front now, but as far as leading infantry units, I just don't think you'll see much change on that in the coming years.
Over the weekend, we heard a bit of a preview of the pushback against Senator Hagel's nomination to run the Defense Department. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky said he's reserving judgment, but Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina went a little bit further. He was interviewed on CNN's State of the Union. He had this to say about the nomination of Hagel to lead the Pentagon.
And it looks like the second term of Barack Obama is going to be an in-your-face term. I'm not going to talk to you at all about the debt ceiling. And here's my Secretary of Defense nominee that's going to get a lot of bipartisan concern.
A lot of bipartisan concern, says Senator Graham. Ron Elving, is that an accurate description? A lot of bipartisan concern, or a few people saying we're not comfortable with this that then kind of dissipates?
A lot of bipartisan concern in the Senate can be summed up as everybody on my side and a few people from the other side, too, frequently. And if there were a configuration to be predicted at this moment, I would guess it was fairly close to that in the Senate, that on Lindsey Graham's side, on Mitch McConnell's side, the Republicans will probably line up against Chuck Hagel in the main. I'm not sure that's going to happen. There could also be the sort of dynamic where they all ask a lot of questions and you have a hearing and he knocks it out of the park at the hearing and they all decide, well, fine, we're not going to go down on this one. And they just decide to vote for him and he gets an 80-90 vote confirmation. On the other hand, it could look a little bit more like we saw with John Ashcroft at the very beginning of George W. Bush's presidency, when there were 42 votes against a guy who had been in the Senate himself until just a few months before. Now, we know that Chuck Hagel used to be a senator, and we know that a lot of these fellows know him personally, but a lot of them also don't. The Senate that just got sworn in last week, most of them, the majority of them, have served less than 6 years.
Wow.
Less than 6 years. 6 years or less.
Tons of turnover.
That's right. Tons of turnover because of big, big wave elections in 06, 08, 10, and 12. And so, you know, a lot of these people are not on first name basis with Chuck Hagel. So we can't know quite yet how they're going to respond. But my guess is, in the end, you hear Chuck Schumer saying he's not taking a position. You hear other people being sort of lukewarm, like Dianne Feinstein, saying he's confirmable but not really putting her full weight behind it.
And they're both Democrats.
They're both Democrat. They're both Jewish. They're both waiting to see how this plays out with respect to his views with respect to Israel.
And along those lines, as far as how this plays out, you look at his resume, Chuck Hagel's. He sounds like almost your typical Republican, a businessman. You know, he comes from
the
Midwest.
Volunteered to serve in Vietnam.
Volunteered to serve in Vietnam. Two Purple Hearts. Saved his brother's life. His brother saved his life. He's, you know, multi-million dollar cell phone company owner. And you look at some of those folks who are coming out in favor of him, a lot of former national security advisors, Brent Scowcroft, who served George H.W. Bush's White House. You have Ryan Crocker, former ambassador, endorsing him, as well as a lot of generals and admirals. And the other thing we talked about earlier is, where will veterans groups come in on this? Will they come out and support Chuck Hagel? Will they stay
former
in the fence?
Former head of the VA.
He was a deputy at the Veterans Administration. And it's important to note, Ari, that he left the Veterans Administration because they weren't dealing effectively with the issue of Agent Orange and Vietnam veterans. His boss basically said Agent Orange is nothing more than a teenager getting acne. And Hagel left over that. And now they've accepted Agent Orange victims into the VA. And a lot of people remember that.
Ron, logistically speaking, in the Senate nowadays, everything gets filibustered. Can cabinet nominations such as these be filibustered?
Technically, yes. Anything can be filibustered. But generally speaking, that's not been the way the Senate has operated. And it is unlikely, I would say, that the Republicans would want to use their political capital to filibuster, especially one of their own. I mean, this man is still a Republican, as Tom was just saying. He fits almost perfectly the profile of the classic late 20th century Republican from Nebraska. And there is just no way they're going to be able to paint him as some kind of a liberal or some kind of a peacenik, not with this man's record. It's a caricature. It's a parody. So there have to be other issues. And for them to go to the mat with a filibuster on whatever issues they might want to bring up at this point seems extremely unlikely to me.
Back in 2008, a lot of Democrats bristled at Senator Joe Lieberman endorsing John McCain. And on the other side of the aisle, Chuck Hagel, Republican Senator of Nebraska, former Republican Senator of Nebraska, was touring the world with Barack Obama, the Democratic nominee for president. How much bad blood is there still in the Republican Party over that?
This is why I say he is a classic Republican of the late 20th century. We are now into the early 21st century, and politics has changed substantially. Right now, the slap in the face that Lindsey Graham referred to, and he said it was having something to do with the things that Chuck Hagel has said about Israel, I suspect it's also to do with the slap in the face that Chuck Hagel gave to the Republican Party, and John McCain in particular, when he endorsed Barack Obama for president in 2008 on his way out the door as a senator, and having associated himself through much of his time there with John McCain, as had Lindsey Graham. I think that the personal thing there is what we're hearing.
Ron, just to wrap up, looking at these three men, Senator John Kerry, who was nominated to be Secretary of State, along with Chuck Hagel in line to be the Defense Department head, and John Brennan to run the CIA, what does this lineup tell us about national security and foreign policy in President Obama's second term?
It tells us that the president is trying to redefine the concept of tough. He doesn't want to be seen as a liberal president on national security. He doesn't want to be seen as some sort of a dove. He wants to be seen as someone who redefined tough. So in John Brennan, you have someone who is extraordinarily close to the president inside the White House, but somebody who is known for his toughness, as we've been saying throughout this hour. And in Chuck Hagel, he has someone who is an independent thinker, who redefines how we approach the Pentagon, but who brings with himself a personal image of exactly what we have always idealized as tough. He is trying to put a new cast on how we think about national security.
Well, after days of trial balloons, leaks, whispered ideas, and floated names, today President Obama made it official. He nominated Chuck Hagel, the former Republican senator from Nebraska, to lead the Pentagon at the start of his second term. Current White House counterterrorism advisor John Brennan looks poised to take over as director of the CIA. Both joined President Obama in the East Room of the White House today, and both now join John Kerry, the president's pick for Secretary of State, in facing confirmation in the Senate. Thanks to NPR's Ron Elving, Mara Liasson, Tom Bowman, and Tom Jelton for joining us today, and thanks to you listening for joining us as well. We'll continue to bring you updates and reaction to today's nominees, and of course, coverage of the Senate confirmation process once it happens. Stay with NPR News for the latest. I'm Ari Shapiro, and you're listening to special coverage from NPR News.